Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217 all the stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1-4 of Psalter 217.
Thank you. wish to read out of God's holy and precious word out of the Gospel according to John, chapter 18. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 18, the first 27 verses. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first. For he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou art holy, and we are corrupt. Thou art righteous, and we are wicked. Thou art mighty, and we are helpless. Thou art all-sufficient, and we are so dependent upon thee. And yet we have no impression thereof, by nature or even after received grace, unless thou wilt give it by renewal unto thy own dear people. Thou wast not offended to suffer. Thy servant Peter did not want to suffer, and we do not want to suffer either. The sin is ours. It was imputed unto thee. The payment was thine. It needs now to be imputed unto us and unto our dear children. Oh, then we need to be born again. We need to receive that hand of faith, the only instrument whereby spiritual blessings can be received by mankind. Oh, that thou may give unto us this indispensable gift, that we may believe. That we may believe in thee, the true, the only, the most high God, the God of the holy scriptures, that we may believe in thy righteousness, in thy justice, in thy holiness, but may it come also that we may believe in thy mercy and in thy grace, that thou mayst be glorified in all of thy attributes. Also that which thou didst display in thy dear and only begotten Son, who was so willing to give himself to be smitten here below, the earthly high priest was offended to be smitten, but thou didst bear it for the sake of thy people who deserve to be smitten and to be punished with an everlasting punishment. Oh, how great thy sacrifice was to give thyself to such a work. But thy children do not want to give themselves to such a life. Oh, that thou may give them that blessed willingness to follow in thy blessed footsteps, that they may be instructed by thee in what is most necessary here below. And because they have not a rest here below promised unto them, but there is a rest that does await them. It is not a church triumphant here below, but a church militant, a church in her weariness, a church in her warfare. And thus they need thee, O Lord, that thou mayst stand on their right and on their left hand, to awaken them in the sloth of their flesh, to feed them in their hunger of that spiritual life that thou hast given unto them, to make the fire to burn, and when it is covered over with ashes, oh, that thou wouldst draw them out again, for thou knowest how that they can miss thee. And then they condemn themselves, for they leave thee days without number. But thou didst say that thou camest to seek and to save that which is lost. And thy servant did say, thy servant like a wandering sheep has gone astray. O, seek thy servant, for he knoweth not how to return again. O thou great shepherd of thy sheep, wilt thou seek them out who have gone far from thee? But they are thine, and thou hast begun it in their life, and though they cannot find it anymore, then it needs to be lost by them, though they cannot miss it. Then the mysteries continue to increase. Then they do not understand, but the flesh also rebels. O Lord, then they are a paradox unto themselves. Then they cannot see the way, but thou dost lead the blind by a way that they knew not. O, that thou mayest take them by heart and by hand then, and wilt thou lead them back unto thyself. That blessed mediator and deliverer of thy church, that they may once again hear thy voice, and that they might see a little of thy face, showing thyself through the lattice. Oh, that thou mayest be like the roe, and that thou mayest come leaping upon the mountains, as skipping upon the hills, that it may be for the rejoicing of those that do mourn and weep. When thou dost appear again, and when thou givest unto them a lively faith, that they may believe in thee, that they may see the solution for their soul. O Lord, remember them in thy mercy. Remember us also when we still alive for our own account in this world. For we come and go from the place of the holy, and one day it shall not be known anymore. When our body is carried unto the grave, oh, then how shall we be buried, even as the wicked? O Lord, wilt thou prevent it by thy grace, that thou mayest give life in our poor souls, that thou mayest give, that the dead may hear the voice of the Son of God, that they that hear might live, that there may be a movement of the heart, that there may be a crying of the mouth, that there may be a bowing of the knees, a folding of the hands, and that there may be a supplication from the bottom of that miry pit. O, that thou mayest hear from heaven thy dwelling place, those that are lost in and of themselves. O, that they may increase in number amongst us, that there may be a place for deliverance, and that there may be a place for thy dear Son, a mediator between God and our soul. Oh, work it, Lord, and both young and old together. When we have become old, especially under thy word, under the preaching, under the reading, and we have heard it so many times in our life, then there is no hope from our side. Then it is only death. But Lord, we beseech thee also for them. The older, the colder, and the harder, and then it is felt and sometimes feared that the time is so short. Oh, an eternity that is forever. Oh, Lord, that thou mayest hear the needy when they cry, that thou mayest save their souls when death draws nigh. For it is so easy for thee to speak one word, O Lord, and they shall be healed. Look upon fathers, mothers, look upon the whole congregation. And wilt thou bless thy word amongst the heathen, the Gentiles? Help thy servant on the mission field and all those that labor there, that thou mayest bless also thy holy word, then it can seem to them as so useless, so hopeless, and many sacrifices are so very great, then they may be asking also wherefore. But Lord, thou knowest wherefore and whereto. Oh, could it please thee yet to bless thy word amongst Jew and Gentile? Remember those that are at war. O Lord, be on their right and on their left hand in mercy, that are chased out of their own country, where there is not enough food and drink, where there is no shelter, where there is so much fighting. O Lord, that thou thyself will give a solution, and wilt thou protect from death and from harm, do put away all those that are the aggressors, and wilt thou deliver in thy mercy. O keep it also from coming to our countries, for so easily it can escalate. O so easily it can come even unto our own land, and then it may be such a surprise unto us. O we beseech thee, Lord, that thou thyself would arise over the nations of this world, and that thou mayest draw back again unto thyself. And yet we can read in thy word that these things are to be expected. O give us to hasten then when we see that the sky is red and lowering, and that we may hasten for the sake of our lives with our children, and not go on in the service of this world. Wilt thou be with all the afflicted and the sick ones, widows, those that have serious diseases, that receive treatments? Wilt thou bless and sanctify in thy mercy those that are addicted to alcohol and to drugs? Remember husbands and wives. Wilt thou give love for one another? Wilt thou restore their marriages may be broken? O Lord, that thou may supply in all our needs. Help us in this hour. O give to us much of the unction of thy Holy Spirit, a little strength in our body, and help from above, and thy blessing, and thy spirit to go from heart to heart. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 240. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. That is, congregation, a song or psalm of Heman the Ezraite. It was one of the four wisest men in Israel after Solomon. But wisdom does not prevent troubles, for my soul is full of troubles. Not one, not two troubles, but my soul is full of troubles. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Shut up, that is, I am a captive, and I cannot release myself from the bonds, the bands which are about me. Shut up, that is, that he is in the prison, and that he is not able to open the doors of that prison, and he has no one there to commune with. That is taken away also from him. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. There is no one that I can open my heart to. There is no one that understands. I am shut up. I have not a place even to lay my needs before the Lord. He says, why castest thou off my soul? Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Why hidest thou thy face from me? That is Heman the Ezraite. But he speaks not only for himself, but the psalmist, they speak the language of that true church of God. And they are not strangers of bonds. Neither was their master, of whom we hope to say a few words in this afternoon hour out of the words of our text. John 18, verse 12. John 18, verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So far the words of our text. Two thoughts. Christ bound in two thoughts. First, the bondage which he suffered. And second, the liberty which he purchased. The bondage which he suffered and the liberty which he purchased. But there is much in this which we cannot speak about in 1 hour. So we hope to speak just about that first point this afternoon. That is the bondage that Christ suffered. And we will do that in three thoughts. The bondage that Christ suffered. First, his willingness to be bound. Second, the fulfillment in his binding. And third, the shame endured in his binding. Thus, the bondage that Christ suffered, his willingness to be bound, the fulfillment in his binding, and the shame endured in his binding. Then the band and captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus. They grab him. They seize him. They take hold of him, children, with unholy hands. The Holy Lord. Who were they? Well, they were a mixed multitude. We read here of a band and his captain. Thus, a Roman captain over perhaps 500 soldiers, and then also the officers of the Jews. Thus, the officers of the Jews and a band of Roman soldiers, say they are enemies of one another. They hate one another. But here they are united. Here they are one. Because they are all enemies of Christ. In that they are one, in that they find each other. From the world and from the church, united against Christ, united against his little church. Who else is there, boys and girls? You know. Say Judas. That is right. He's right in the front. Judas. Even a disciple of the Lord Jesus is there. Awful. And who else? Yeah, there is someone else. That is Satan. How do we know he is there? You know what we read in the Bible? That Satan entered into Judas. He is living in Judas. And thus we have the Romans and the Jews and the disciple and the devil. They are all one. They are all against Christ and his church. And we read that they are cowards. Where do we read that? Well, we read they come to him at night. It is probably around midnight. Say, why are they not sleeping? Why are they not in bed? Oh, now they will come. Now they will capture him. Because now there is no multitude around. Now there is no one to stop them and to get angry. They took Jesus. Finally, they have gotten him. Do not let him go, because if you let him go, then they will lose the opportunity. Just like they did before. You can read that they sought him, but he escaped out of their hands. Then the captain and the band and the captain and the officer of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. They tie his hands. Why? Well, so that he cannot escape. Bands. Those bands have to keep that criminal from doing his wicked deeds because he is teaching that people error. He is leading them astray. He may not do that. He is a desecrator of the Sabbath day. Bands. Those bands, they will make him helpless. The wicked are bold. They do not know who that they hear would bind, both Jew and Gentile. Who will they bind? God. God himself. Can God be bound? Christ made them feel his power. His divine power. Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Oh, he made them to feel in one moment who he really was, for just a moment, to allow that divine nature to shine through that veil of his humanity. And what does he prove? He proves who they are. He proves what they are. Because he lays them flat on the ground, upon their backs. Then he allows them to get up again. And what do? They keep going. They are not changed. It makes no impression. Oh, what does it take to change a man? To change a heart? Did the Lord ever lay you flat on your back? Did the Lord ever lay you upon a sickbed? Did the Lord ever bring you to have an accident? And then when he allowed you to come up again, what then? Was there then any change? Or did you continue as these men, with a heart full of enmity against the Lord? Whether it be in a Gentile or whether it be in a religious way, oh, then there is no change. No, all the greatest afflictions we can have in our whole life, that will never change our heart. Oh, did we ever feel that we are dead? That we are dead in trespasses and in sins? Is it true, young people, that man just needs to be reformed, that he just needs to be instructed, that he just needs to be convinced by a minister, by a friend? It is not true. It is against the scriptures, which tell us clearly that man is dead. Did you ever feel that? Was that then ever hopeless in your life? Oh, what do you do when you come up under the word? Is then your supplication unto the Lord? Do we come up hoping just to hear something that is interesting from the word of God? That you say, maybe this or that word may convince me? No, then we need a powerful work. Then we need an almighty work of the Spirit of the Lord, to give me life from the dead. And bound him. What a boldness is in man. He thinks he can bind God. We think that we can take away the sovereignty of God. We think that we can take away the freedom of God. That we can subject God to our will. That was the first lie. The first lie that was said by the devil unto our first parents. Ye shall be as gods. Oh, then you can subject God himself unto you and bound him. How is it possible then? How is it possible that they bound Christ? You remember Samson, right, children? Oh, they bound him with green withes. But Samson was so very strong. And they were like nothing to Samson to break them. New ropes. And what did Samson do with those ropes? Oh, they were just like a piece of thread. And he broke the ropes and he was free. They could not bind him. Why not? Oh, there was power. It was the power of God. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. And here, is there not power here also? Is there not here a power so much greater than the power of Samson? Oh, you say, indeed. Indeed, the power of Christ is divine. Oh, that is where Samson received his power from. Surely Christ, he can break through this binding. And that is true. There is only one way that Christ could be bound. And what is that? That he allows it. That he allows it. That he does not resist. That he gives himself willingly. That is what we read here. Whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. Peter was not so willing. Peter draws his sword. He begins to fight. He is going to defend his master. That is what he promised, did he not? He meant it. I'm ready to go with thee to all suffering. I'm ready to go with thee even into death. And so when that enemy is there, oh, Peter is also ready. He takes his sword out. He begins to swing that sword. Oh, Peter. Peter, he is not a warrior. And he cuts off what, children? He cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And that sword that comes right down on the side of his head. Put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? Are you given a cup? What is the cup that the Lord has given you to drink in your life? Is that a cup of affliction? Have you to bear a weak body? Have you to bear a disease? Have you to bear family troubles? Have you to bear a business which is not prosperous? Have you to bear poverty? What is now the cup that the Lord has given you? Are you willing to drink that cup? Whatever that is, we say Christ's willingness to be bound. What does that mean, to be bound? If you're bound, then your freedom is taken away from you. Then you are restricted. Then you are limited. Then you are subject to the will of someone else. And you are bound and you cannot do your own will, you say. Was this the first time that Christ was bound? It is not. You say, when was he bound before? Oh, he was bound a long, long time before. He was bound in eternity. There he bound himself voluntarily. Voluntarily, he bound himself. He restricted himself. We do that too sometimes, right? Husbands and wives, have you not done that? You have stood here before God and before the church, and you have bound yourself with an oath that you are going to restrict yourself in a certain relation to a certain person, and that you are never going to leave, that you are never going to forsake that person, except it be for adultery, of course. But otherwise, then your oath was to be limited unto this person. And that you have certain obligations to fulfill. You are going to love. You are going to help. You are going to support. And now you are bound. You have done that voluntarily. But that binding is still around you. You are not able just to throw off those bonds, because that is an oath before the Almighty God. We do that sometimes. And we stand before the congregation and before the Lord, and we make confession of faith. Then we bind ourselves to a certain doctrine, to a certain lifestyle, to a certain authority. Then we limit ourselves, and we are now bound by these things. Christ did the same. He did that in eternity. He did that with his Father. He did that through an oath. He did that through a covenant. He bound himself voluntarily. What did he bind himself to? He bound himself to a human nature. God, the infinite God, infinite in his being, infinite in his attributes. But he said, I will limit myself. I will become a human being. And I will limit myself, my divine attributes. I will limit them to that which a human being is able to do. I will contain myself within that nature. That was a drastic limitation. How great the difference between God and man. He will limit himself to human knowledge. That he will be just like a child, and he will submit to having to receive knowledge, the all-knowing God, from a father and a mother here in this world. He will limit himself so that he will say, even the Son does not know that hour. God himself, setting himself under the limits of a human authority, father, mother, magistrate, said to Pilate, you could have no power against me at all, except it were given to thee from above. But it is given unto thee, and I submit unto it. Oh, that human nature, voluntarily binding himself to that nature, not only that nature, but he bound himself to that fallen human nature, sin accepted. That is, binding himself to that human nature, not as it was before that we fell, but to that human nature as it was after that we fell. A human nature that was subject to the consequences of sin, binding himself to a life that is full of all the misery in this world, binding himself to a body which was weak, which was sickly, that was subject even unto death. He did that willingly. Could death hold him? Did he have power to break himself out of death? He did. That is what took place. And yet, he subjected himself. He placed himself under it. And he was willing to be bound with grave clothes. He bound himself. To what? To do the will of his Father. He says, I come not to do mine own will, but I come to do the will of him that sent me. Thus he bound himself to servanthood, to be a servant. Do you want to be a servant, children? What do you want to do when you grow up, boys and girls? What do you want to do when you grow up? Fall as well. Young people. How would you like to be a slave? I think there is no one that has said that in their mind, right? No. So I'm glad there is no slavery anymore. I am glad too. But that is what Christ bound himself to. Not to do his own will. Oh, how true that he was to that oath. When he had to experience the epitome of pain and suffering, and when his soul did sweat great drops of blood, oh, when he trembled, knowing everything that was before him, and then to say, not my will, but thine be done. Why? Because of that oath. Because he had bound himself. He bound himself to what? He bound himself to the law. He said, I will be subject to the law as a human being. Who? The giver of the law, the maker of the law, himself. He says, I will place myself under that law, and I will subject myself to all the limitations that that law does bring upon me. Not the limitations only. But I will also subject myself to the curse. I will subject myself to the punishment that that law requires. So we have our text. What does our text say? And bound him. Who bound him? Well, you say, it is the band, the Roman soldiers, the officers of the Jews. They bound him. They restrained him. Is that really so? Is that really so? Did they have power to limit him? Oh, they had no power. He had already bound himself. He had bound himself already to submit to this abuse. And without his binding, they would have no power against him. Oh, that submission of Christ that has taken place a long, long time ago, that has taken place in eternity, and it was also foretold in the time. That is, for a moment, our second thought. Boys and girls, you know about Isaac, right? You remember when Isaac, that is, Father Abraham, took him up into the mountain, and then what was Abraham to do with Isaac? Well, say he was to sacrifice him. That was what the Lord had commanded him to do. And when Abraham and Isaac arrive at that place, and Abraham builds an altar unto the Lord, and then he says to Isaac, "My son, the Lord has commanded me to offer you for a burnt offering unto the Lord." Oh, then what did Isaac do? Did he run away? He said, no. That is such a wonder, isn't it? If your father said to you, "I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to offer you as a sacrifice unto God," oh, what would we say, boys and girls? We would not be so ready, would we? How is that possible that Isaac, he just gave himself? You know how that is possible? The tender fear of the Lord was in that young man. The fear of God. And what was the will of God that was good with Isaac? Or is that good with us too? We see and feel the greatness of the power of the Spirit of the Lord to make us agreeable to such a way. Or a type of the willingness of Christ. Do we not read that in the prophecy of Isaiah? He was oppressed. And he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Do you know what David says? He says, "Bind the sacrifice unto the horns of the altar." That is what they did. They bound the sacrifice and four horns, and it was tied to that altar. Oh, that was just like Joseph, wasn't it? He was falsely accused, and he was put into prison. Oh, and then for what reason? Oh, that he may be raised up, that he may deliver his people. It was foretold. It was prophesied. It was typified. Why is that important? Why is it important that it was foretold beforehand? Do you know what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples? He says, "I have told you before it come to pass that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." That is what we read. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, when it was indeed come to pass, then he said to them, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded unto them in all things, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Was that a help unto those disciples? Do you know what we read in the Bible? When he was risen from the dead, then they remembered that he had spoken these things unto them. And they believed the scriptures and the word that he had spoken. Before the experience, in the life of God's church, it is all theory. It is all theory. It is all but doctrine. But in the experience, oh, that word of the Lord, then it is that the church may believe. Oh, the Lord, he is good to his people. What do we read about Joseph? When his brothers were standing there before him, he remembered his dreams. The Lord is coming back on it in the life of his own people. Let us sing. 289, 4, 8, 9, and 10. The Lord our God is God alone. All lands his judgments know. His promise he remembers still while generations go. 4, 8, 9, and 10 of Psalter 289.
Thank you.
the bondage, Christ suffered first his willingness to be bound. Second, the fulfillment in his binding. And third, the shame endured in his binding and bound him. That was not the first time. That was already in eternity. He bound himself. There was no shame in that. When we bind ourselves in marriage, in confession of faith, there is no shame in that. There was no shame in Christ binding himself in that covenant of redemption. But he bound himself to suffer shame. Young people, are you ashamed to do what is right? Before your friends, are you ashamed to do what is right? There is no shame in doing what is right, is there? Is there shame in doing the commandments of the Lord? Satan, and many persons in this world will laugh at you and will mock you when you do what is right. Are you ready to suffer such shame? To say to your friends you do not do what is right? You use language that is not right. You speak about things that are not right. You look at things that are not right. You bully that is not right. Are you ready to suffer shame for this? Do you know what the Apostle Paul said? If, when ye do well and suffer for it, he says, this is acceptable with God. God sees that. When you suffer for doing what is right. On the other hand, he says, what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? He says, no, that is no glory. That is a great shame that you have to be punished, that you have to be buffeted for your faults. Shame. What is that? Shame. That is a human feeling, shame. It is a human feeling that goes along with guilt. That I perceive that my neighbor is going to look at me with contempt because of my sin. Are we ashamed when we sin? Are we ashamed when we have to be punished? We live in a world that mocks at sin. I have seen that, young people. I was a teacher in the school for some years. And a child is disciplined, and then there are with him friends, and then he has a smile on his face. Smile. When he has to be punished, do you know where that comes from? It comes from the devil. That is wicked. You smile. The devil will not have man to be ashamed anymore, but just to sin with a high hand. There was no shame in the active obedience of Christ, in the fulfillment of the law, in the keeping of the commandments of the Lord. There is no shame connected to it. But there was much shame that was connected to the passive obedience of Christ. The Apostle Paul says he despised the shame. What does that mean? He endured it. He thought not about it. He did not mind it. He went forward anyway, though he was made ashamed and bound him. He would be bound again and again. Here he is bound when he is apprehended. There is a great shame in being bound, but that shame is going to increase. He is going to be loosed again before the judgment. Then he will have some semblance of freedom to speak for himself. But do you know what Isaiah says? He was taken from prison and from judgment. He was led from one place to the other. And then we can read several times, and they bound him. So he was led to Annas, bound first, after he was apprehended. And then he was bound again. Is that different, that he is bound again? Well, you say, certainly that is different. Why? Because Annas, he does not say, no, 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 this man is innocent, you have to let him go. No, he agrees. And thus he is bound again. And he has now to go to Caiaphas. And he is standing before Caiaphas, and he is bound again. And he is led to Pilate, and bound, and to Herod, and bound. Thus, in every judgment that he had in the midst of the church and of the world, time and again, Christ is bound. So he is led through the streets of Jerusalem as a spectacle. Every judgment is against him. You go to the prison, you see a man there, and then you say, well, he must be guilty. He has done something wrong. Is that right? No. There are many of them in there that are innocent. But the fact that he is there, then everybody thinks that is now a guilty man. Shame. So Christ is led through Jerusalem. He suffered shame as a boaster. Do you know what he said? I am the Son of God, he had said. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. Do you boast, boys and girls? Do not ever boast. If you boast, you always have to live up to it later. The Lord Jesus never boasted. Never. Well, he said he was the Son of God. Was he not boasting? No, he was not boasting. It was true. And he said to the Pharisees, if I should say I am not, then I will be a liar just like you. Then you must always tell the truth. But Pilate mocked him for it. He put a superscription over his cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The people, they mocked him. They said, you just were a boaster. That is sinful. You did not tell the truth. Obviously, look at you now. Look at your helplessness. Look at your captivity. You are weak. You are not able to fulfill what you have boasted about. Could he have come down? Yes. Did he come down? No. And what did he say when they mocked? Nothing. Nothing. Despising the shame. Why? He had bound himself. He had bound himself to this suffering and bound him. Oh, that binding of Christ was an offense unto his disciples. You say, why should they be offended in him? Should they not be offended at the enemy? Why are they offended in the Lord Jesus? Oh, if he was bound out of helplessness. If he could not do anything about it, there would be no offense in those disciples. But those disciples knew that it was not so. He did not even permit them to help him. They could not even take out their sword. They could not even defend him. You say, well, they did not understand. No. It is more. Because the Lord Jesus said to them, not all of you will not understand what is going to happen tonight. He said, all of you will be offended in me this night. You are going to make a judgment that I do it wrong. You're going to judge unfavorably of me. You're going to be insulted. How does he expect us to stand by him now when he just gives himself? He can stop that enemy. And he does not do it. Paul speaks about the offense of the cross. How often is the church of God not offended at the cross? At the dealings of the Lord, often, but especially of the cross. Oh, they do not realize what is necessary for their own salvation. They do not want their flesh to be bound. The flesh rebels against afflictions, against trials, would like to throw them all off. That flesh says, the Lord does it wrong. They do not want their soul to be bound. Oh, bring my soul out of prison. But do you know what Christ said? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know what Christ said to his disciples? He said, follow me. Follow me. Enduring the cross, and despising the shame. Manasseh learned to pray in the prison. No, the flesh does not like it in the prison. But when he was bound, then he learned to fold his hands and to bow his knees. Paul and Silas sang in the prison. When they were bound, oh, that is more than to learn to pray in the prison. How is that possible? Well, because those two men, they tasted something in that prison. Do you know what they tasted? Liberty. Liberty. They tasted the liberty that Christ purchased by being bound. They tasted that liberty in their temporal bondage. That was a spiritual liberty. But now I'm going too far. Because that we said we hope to consider next week. Oh, the Lord, give to us a desire to know something of that liberty. Then we will have to experience something also of that bondage, in order that the binding of Christ may become precious to our own soul. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy word of truth. O humble us, because we are such proud creatures, sinful creatures, worthy of condemnation, and yet thou, that holy and righteous being, was so willing to undergo this suffering. Oh, give to us then a heart that may be ashamed of ourselves, that we may go to our own inner chamber and confess to thee our iniquity. And wilt thou humble us under thy goodness, bless thy word, help us further this day to keep thy day holy. Wilt thou be with us in this week? Remember catechism classes this day, tomorrow, confession class, consistory meeting, and each one of us in our places, in our homes, in our places of business, on the farms. Wilt thou give strength for the day, meditation in thy word of truth and true conversion, forgiving all that is amiss, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 243, 11 and 12, 14 and 15. He is reproached and spoiled of all. His enemies upon him fall. His beauty is consumed away. Forgotten is his kingly sway. 11, 12, 14, and 15 of Psalter 243. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.